So it said up there that the title was Help, Get Me Out of Here. I haven't departed, it's all right, Glyn. I've stuck with when you're doing something new. Maybe some of you found yourself in a situation where you thought, how did I get here? And I really don't like this very much, and I'm really uncomfortable. I want to tell you a story. Actually, I think I'll sit down, because you'd have to sit down for a story, don't you? I want to tell you a story about my story, about when I had a job that I just thought, help, get me out of here. But it was okay, and it was okay because of the way I got the job. I was a hospital catering manager in Mill Road Maternity Hospital, and the catering department had a reputation which I didn't know about before I applied for the job, and that was that the staff, particularly the kitchen staff, was such hard work that they had not had a catering manager stay for as much as a year in the last 10 years. And I was 23. So I'm just going to tell you how I got this this job. I'd newly qualified, and I'd had a lovely long holiday in Japan, and I had a job in Tunbridge Wells to fit in. I was managing the catering at an old people's home. And I had this boyfriend in Liverpool. If any of your geography is marginally okay, you'll know that Liverpool and Tunbridge Wells are miles away from anywhere. He was working with a church, and he said, I'm working with the church at the weekend, so I'm not going to come and see you. And I said, I only get one day off a week, so I can't get to Liverpool and back in one day. So we were going to, you know, but actually I was quite keen on him, and I thought it would be quite fun to get a job near him. And so every week I was getting the catering times, whatever it is, and looking at the adverts. These are before the days of, because I'm terribly old, of, you know, internet and all that stuff. And I saw this job at Mill Road Maternity Hospital. So you know the end before the beginning, which just spoils it a little bit. But and I couldn't believe it was vacant, because I'd trained with the guy that was there. And he told me it was a great place to be, and he was having a wonderful time. And I thought, well, I wonder what's happened. Why has he left? Anyway, I was terribly excited. Oh, yes, this is... Because this particular hospital, I failed to mention, is 15 minutes walk from Shrewsbury House, which was where my boyfriend was working. It was a sort of a church thing. So I thought, oh, yes, I must apply for this. Oh, yes, I must. And then I don't know quite what happened, but I left it a bit late. And so I thought, oh, I'm not going to get, I haven't got an application form, I'm not going to get it done, what am I going to do? And so I wrote them this really uncool letter that said, dear sir stroke madam, please send me your application form, but if I don't get it back in time, please could you consider my application anyway on the grounds of previous applications that I have submitted to you, because I'd submitted two previous applications. So uncool, but anyway, the application form arrived. I thought, I've just about got time to get it in the first class post, filled it in, and when I got to the bottom, I read the top, and the top said, you know what it said, black ink. Who's done that? So this is why we photocopied it. Anyway, I had not photocopied it. I had one application form, it was in blue ink. So what did I do? I tip-exed the whole application form and let it dry and filled it all in black and sent it off thinking, right, that's there's no chance. There's just... So you can imagine, I was completely amazed when I was invited for an interview. So turned up an interview. They did that thing where they get you all together and we all had a meal in the hospital canteen. So there was me and seven men. And they had briefcases, and I was 23, and I had a handbag. And I just thought, why are they interviewing me? So there was that, and they were so confident, and I really wasn't. But this is the clincher. Now, this is the final straw. Because I expect a few of you, just a few of you, might have broken front teeth before. And what happens is they give you a crown, which is all very nice. And once in a while, your crown has to be renewed. And nowadays, the temporary crown that they put in there is actually not bad. But back then, it was bad. It was like white. It was a white peg sticking out just here. It was longer than my other teeth. Whoops, excuse me. And it was narrower. And if I talked like this, I could just about not show it. And I definitely couldn't smile. So just imagine this interview. Anyway, interview finished, went back to where my boyfriend was staying, because it's only 15 minutes walk. And one of the guys he was working with said to me, "So how did it go?" I said, "If I get that job, it's God." Why did God set that up? Why did he make it so difficult for me to get the job in my own strength? Because he knew that I was going to be saying, "Help, get me out of here." He knew that I needed to know that God wanted me to do this particular job. So my question this evening is, can we expect God to give us a very clear indication that he wants us to do something if it's going to be difficult? And I think there's some encouragement from today's passage, which Jack is going to read for us.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he had failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, 'The guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering.'" Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord.
To look at the context of what was happening in that area at the time. The ark was in Shiloh, which I believe is where Joshua had left it. I didn't check that before tonight. But there it was, and it was being tended by Eli's sons, who were very immoral and very greedy, and it's all terribly sordid, so I'm not going to tell you, but you can look it up. earlier in 1 Samuel. They were wicked, wicked, wicked men, and they were supposed to be following their father. So God wanted to intervene here. Now, what else had happened here was we started here with the word of the Lord was seldom heard. But just to give you a bit more of an idea of what it was like, when Hannah, Samuel's mom, was very upset because she struggled to have a baby, she came and prayed, and Eli saw her praying, and in those days, when they prayed, they usually spoke out loud. So she was speaking, but she was so upset that you couldn't hear her voice. Her lips were just moving. And Eli mistook a distressed, praying woman for someone who was drunk. And it kind of makes you realize what was going on around there at that time. And God needed to change things. Samuel means God hears. Did you know he's not here tonight? Yes, you are. No, he isn't. It's the other one. The other one is not here. Any Samuels here tonight? Means God hears. Lovely. Samuel was brought to the temple when he was quite little. Lots of the commentaries say he was maybe 3. I think he was probably about 5. But anyway, you can talk to me about that later. But in this story, he's still a boy. It actually says the boy. It doesn't say the youth. Now, I don't know how old you think you have to be to stop being a boy. But the first time that Eli calls him, it says he runs to him. I don't think anyone over the age of about 10 or 11 is going to run to Eli. So we've got quite a little, not a little boy, but definitely a boy, not a young man, not a young person serving here in the temple. Also, Samuel was doing all the right things, doing everything that Eli was telling him to do, but actually he'd never heard God's voice either. He'd never met God. Just think this is an amazing story. So anyway, do you want to let, where are we, lovely person down the back there? I think we're looking at about verse 5. He ran to Eli. God calls Samuel. He just says his name once. Samuel runs to Eli. No, Eli says, go back to bed. I didn't call you. You must have had a bad dream. Then he says, Samuel, again. And Eli says, go back to bed. You must have had a bad dream. I don't know if that's what he said, but I think he did. And then the third time, Eli says, God is speaking to you. So that got me thinking, what's going on here? God is not just speaking to Samuel, is he? He's speaking to Eli. He's saying to Eli, actually, you're going to have to listen to this. It took 3 goes for Eli to recognize that this was God's voice. But Eli recognized that this was God's voice, and Samuel went and laid down again. And then there's a phrase, verse 10. And I never saw this before. Have you seen this before? The Lord came and stood there. God stood there. Jesus stood there. So, how do we know? Samuel must have seen him, don't you think? So there's this little boy, he hasn't met God yet, he's never heard God, and suddenly he sees Jesus. This meant a lot to me at this time, because some of our Muslim friends are fasting at the moment. It's Ramadan. And somebody told me, and I believe him, that 25% of Muslims who become Christians because they've seen Jesus. And wow. So he sees him. And then he hears him saying, Samuel, Samuel. And he says the words, speak, for your servant is listening. The message that God gives Samuel, this little boy, this boy, that he has to tell his mentor and carer, is a really hard message. I think you'd agree. Now, what's really interesting is that God was preparing Eli in another way, not just by calling Samuel three times. But if you look in an earlier chapter there in 1 Samuel, a man of God has already come to Eli and told him, this is not good. What your sons are doing is not good. This is the end of your family being high priests. I am going to put an end to all of your family. So actually, Eli already knew that. But Samuel didn't know that, did he? He didn't know. So what I would suggest is, if God is going to give you something to do that's really hard, not only will he prepare you, but he will prepare the way in front of you as well. You might not know what you're going into, but he does, and he's prepared. And he had prepared Eli for Samuel, but Samuel didn't know. He was just a little boy. He didn't know. In my notes here, I put, and then Samuel went to sleep. And then I read another version, and I thought, no, he didn't. And then I went back to my original version. I thought, no, he didn't. It says he laid down. I don't think he slept. Do you think he slept? He probably didn't. He probably doesn't say he slept. He probably didn't sleep. So he laid down till morning. Now, this is the thing that really got me again. In the morning, Eli calls him. And Samuel goes running to Eli. Samuel can already distinguish between Eli's voice and God's voice, can't he? Because when Eli calls him in the morning, he doesn't say, speak, Lord, for your servant is hearing. He knows that that is Eli's voice, and the other voice that he heard was God's voice. Do you know, this is so exciting, because when we listen to God's voice, after a while, we can hear his voice. We can hear it better as time goes on. With Samuel, it was very quick. It was very quick. I think that God gave Samuel the courage to do this very hard thing, to tell his boss, his mentor, the man who'd been looking after him most of the time for a long time, to tell him these terrible things, because he was a different person after that night. He had seen God, he'd heard God, and he'd spoken to God. I missed a bit earlier on. Right at the very beginning, it says Eli slept where he normally slept, and Samuel slept in the temple next to the Ark of God. There's a verse in the Bible that says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So it seems to me the temple and the Ark of God is a good place to be sleeping, to draw near. So what I want to invite you to do this evening is to draw near to God. Be in his temple. Be close to him. Let him have time to speak to you. And then when he does, listen to what he has to say. And it may be that he speaks to you directly or through his word, and it may be that you get a little help from your friend, like actually Samuel got a little help from Eli because he didn't recognize God's voice at first. And then finally, do what God says. Obey him. The Lord came and stood there. Heavenly Father, we want you to come and stand here. We want you to overwhelm us. We want to know your presence. We want to hear your voice. And Lord, when you speak to us, we pray that you will give us the courage to move forward into new situations that we haven't been in before. Lord, we need to know that you have put us there, because sometimes they're really hard. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.